Grace and peace to you, my friends, and welcome to worship with Stockbridge Presbyterian Church. My name is Betsy Turner, and I am your pastor. This message is for August 2nd, 2020, our 21st Sunday of gathering in this new way, and the 18th Sunday of ordinary time. I do want to let you know that as we continue to be apart for everyone's health and safety, we are working on new ways that we can all stay in touch and stay generous even as we stay in. We are planning to gather our adult Sunday school classes on Zoom, and it's been fun to see how much interest there is in doing that, so watch for that information. We are starting a new group in August that's going to read, study, and discuss about issues of race and racism, and we're looking at ways to serve, including writing encouraging notes to our frontline workers at Piedmont Henry Hospital and lining up pen pal prayer partners for the kids in our own church. And we're working with our partner schools because Goodness and Groceries is going to look different this year with school being done remotely. And we're looking for new ways that we can partner with those schools and support those kids and families. So there's a lot going on in the church, even though we're not able to be at the church. Details about all the things I've mentioned and more will be in the August newsletter, which should be out in the next couple of days, early this week. And I would really encourage you to take some time with that newsletter, read it carefully, and read it with an open heart about how God might be calling you to get involved and to renew your commitment to Stockbridge Presbyterian Church and our mission and our ministry, even while we are apart. Friends, it is a joy to worship together, and we will open our worship today with a song, Blow Ye the Trumpet Blow. And this is a recording that was provided to us by Ward Gailey. He arranged the music, and it was sung by the Andrews College Choraliers a while back. Enjoy this opening music.
Blow ye the trumpet blow. The gladly solemn song, let all the nations know, to us revolters bow. The hero Jubilee is come, the hero Jubilee is come, return ye ransomed sinners home. Jesus, our great high priest, hath full atonement made, he weary spirits rest, he mortal souls be glad.
Christ, O the Lamb of God, the all-atoning man, redemption in his blood, throughout the world proclaim.
The year of Jubilee is come, the year of Jubilee is come, return ye ransomed sinners home.
The gospel trumpet hear, the news of heavenly grace,
and save from earth of fear, before our Savior's face. The year of Jubilee is come, the year of Jubilee is come, return ye ransomed sinners home. The year of Jubilee is come, the year of Jubilee is come, return ye ransomed sinners.
Now would you pray with me? Holy God, in the midst of a lot of chaos and confusion, much stress and anxiety, we come to worship you. Help us to quiet other voices in these moments so that we might hear you speaking to us. Bind us together across the distance that separates, through the gift of technology and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And grant your peace to our frantic minds, our weary bodies, and our restless spirits. Come, Spirit, come and be with us. Amen. Our gospel reading today is what is probably a familiar story for many of you, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, beginning at the 13th verse. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And when they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, there were 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, plus women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For most of you, this should be a familiar story. And the usual way of reading the story is as a miracle, that Jesus makes not enough into enough, supernaturally. That Jesus transcends the boundaries of time and space and the laws of physics and the material world, tapping into the creative powers of God to make sure there's enough to go around. Read that way, this is a powerful story of creativity and generosity, compassion and grace. God in Christ cares for the people and provides generously for their need, enough to go around plus plenty of leftovers. And why? It's not because they are particularly worthy or have done a thing to deserve it or have promised Jesus anything in return. It's simply because they're hungry. Jesus helps them, healing them, and then feeding them simply because they need the help. And Jesus has every right, actually, to be annoyed with them. He's tired. He is grieving. He's just received the bad news of the brutal killing of his cousin and his friend, John the Baptist, and he's trying to get away for a little R&R. But as soon as he arrives in the deserted place for a time of retreat, he's met by this enormous ragtag crowd of strangers. But instead of being irritated, he instantly feels a deep compassion for them. And so he spends his day with them. He listens to their stories. He laughs at their jokes. He holds their babies and he holds their trembling hands. He wipes their tears and prays over their sick and heals their wounds. And then in the evening, when the crowd is hungry, it is then that he harnesses the full creative power of God to miraculously multiply a laughable offering, 5 loaves and 2 fish, clearly not enough for the crowd. But he multiplies it into enough and plenty for there to be leftovers. What was scarce, Jesus makes abundant, and he does it out of compassion, simply because he cares. He cares for the babies and the mamas and the disabled folks and the elderly ones and the anxious ones, the merely curious and the deeply devout, the neighbors and the strangers of every kind. Jesus cares for the people, especially those in need, the poor, the hungry, the sick, the least, the last, the lost, not based on what they deserve, but based on what they need, and based on his own compassion. Read in this way, the feeding of the multitude story is about creativity and generosity, compassion and grace. How Christ creates abundance from scarcity. And that makes it a word of incredible comfort for us, that God knows our needs, has compassion, and will provide. Maybe not always what we want. There is still mystery about God and how God works. And we know that God is not a cosmic Santa Claus or a genie who grants our every wish. But God knows our deepest needs and our hungers and is able and willing to act mightily and miraculously to make sure everyone has enough by grace. But that's not the only way to read the story. What if this isn't the miracle we thought? What if this isn't about Jesus harnessing the creative power of the universe and bending the laws of physics to multiply those loaves and fishes? What if instead it's a story about Jesus harnessing the crowd and bending their hearts toward generosity? Maybe the miracle was everyone reaching into their own satchels and pockets, pulling out whatever they had on them, and sharing it with the person next to them. Surely they didn't all come out to this deserted place with plans to stay all day and come empty-handed. And so maybe it is that the women dug around in their purses and found little packs of crackers, and parents grabbed snacks out of their diaper bags, and kids looked in their backpacks and found apples and peanut butter sandwiches, and teenagers pulled out candy bars and granola bars from their jeans pockets. A loaf of bread, a handful of nuts, a jar of pickles, a few pieces of fruit. And if everyone pulled out something, emptying their lunch sack, their picnic basket, and passing around what they had, maybe that's the miracle. It's the miracle that we recreate every time we hold a potluck supper. We all bring a little something, and we end up with an abundant feast, more than we need, and enough to share. Maybe that's how Jesus provided for the people that day, by helping them to see the abundance in their midst and inspiring them to share it so that everyone would have enough. To tell you the truth, reading the story in that other way doesn't change it all that much. Jesus's compassion for the people is still the same. His willingness to serve and give of himself despite his own exhaustion and emotion, that's the same. It's just that the miracle becomes not the transformation of material goods, but the transformation of human hearts and minds towards Jesus' grace and generosity. Somehow, by Jesus' very presence and his compassion, his solidarity with those in need, he helped everyone there, thousands of them, realize that their own needs are tied up in the needs and hungers of their neighbors, and that hunger isn't a personal problem, it's a communal one, because we belong to each other. And it can't just be fixed by divine supernatural intervention. The needs of our neighbors are in fact something that can be solved through generosity. It's still a story about God's creativity and generosity, compassion and grace, but it becomes about how those things work in and through and among us. It's a story about how Christ might change us from fear of scarcity to embracing abundance. And it's a word of challenge for us, calling us to care about our neighbors, especially the least, the last, and the lost, and to dig around in our own pockets and see what gifts we have and generously share the things that God has entrusted to us, not based on who deserves to receive them, but based on compassion, modeled after that of Christ himself. If you want to know the truth, I believe it was actually both. That both of these ways of reading this story are true. And that Jesus performed a double miracle on that day. I want to believe that he supernaturally multiplied those 5 loaves and 2 fish into much more. And that as those loaves and fishes were passed around and people experienced that abundance and that grace, completely generous and completely undeserved, they did reach into their pockets and began to share what they had. And then Jesus multiplied those gifts, so that little packet of just 2 crackers kept having more in it as it passed along. And people could break off pieces of granola bar and find there was still enough for the person next to them. And by the end, when they gathered up all the broken pieces, I suspect that those 12 baskets did not just contain pieces of bread and bits of fish. I suspect there were also almonds and olives and figs and apples and candy bars and sandwiches and crackers and jars of pickles and peanut butter and everything else that people had shared and which had been multiplied by God's grace to create a double miraculous feast for all. I think it's both. I think it's a divine miracle and a human one. Because I know that we are both desperately hungry and deeply gifted. Our hands are empty, grasping for what we need, and we have things in our own pockets that can be shared. It's both. We're fed by God's grace, and we're invited to break open that grace and pass it along to others. It's always both. The miracle of what we receive from God and the miracle of what we share. And one way or another, no matter how you read this story, the promise is that there is enough. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now would you sing with me? Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will ever sing to you. I will ever sing to you. My friends, we have much to be thankful for. Plenty of loaves, many fish. And we have much to share with our neighbors. And our giving to the church is one way that we pass those blessings around and share the things that God has entrusted to us. So I invite you to give generously, and I trust that you will be blessed in the giving. Amen. As an act of praise and dedication, let us sing together the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
And now let us pray. Lord of abundance and compassion, we look in awe at the extent of your grace, the unbounded care you give to all the earth. We rejoice that when we give whatever we have, you accept it, give thanks for it, and expand its power to provide, allowing us to witness the miracle of mercy that ensues as a result. We confess that when we see the needs of your beloved world, we feel overwhelmed. We want to turn away and seek our own security and retreat from the chaos around us. Forgive us for failing to heed Jesus' command to provide for the crowd. Forgive us for hoarding what we have, instead of willingly offering it to you, so that it might be blessed and multiplied, and used to sustain everyone. In your steadfast love, be present in our desolate places. Meet us in our doubts and in our failings. Grant us mercy, and make of us a gracious and a faithful people. God of bread and fish, hillsides and healing, we come to you like those crowds, in need of relief, fearful that we do not have enough, and eager to see Jesus face to face. We join our hearts and voices in prayer to you, trusting your promise to hear and to respond not as we deserve, but as your mercy would dictate. Hear us then as we pray, as we always do, but with special urgency in these days, for the sick and the hurt and those who care for them, for the dying and those who grieve, especially those who do so alone, for the hungry, the poor, and those who are most vulnerable, for the long oppressed and those still waiting for justice, for the anxious and those who feel most alone, and for students, parents, families, teachers, and staff in our schools, we pray for their safety and their health. Hear us now as we name, in silence or out loud in our own spaces, our specific concerns and the particular ways we need your grace. O Lord of abundance and compassion, hear our prayers. Bless us that we might be a blessing to others. May we be conduits for Christ's power and peace and plenty, embodying your love for all the earth and every creature upon it. We make our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I charge you now, my friends, as I always do, to go forth from this time of worship to love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Receive and participate in God's miraculous, abundant grace. And as you go, go knowing that you do not go alone. For the one who met the crowds in that desolate place has compassion for us as well, and has promised to be with us and to provide for us today and tomorrow and forever. Knowing this, my friends, be at peace. Amen.